Hello, this is Julianne Good, and this is Psych One-on-One. We are here to make psychology more understandable, entertaining, and hopefully we're going to give you some tips to make your life a little bit easier. Tonight, my special guest is Bobby Buck, entrepreneur, and we're going to be talking about his life, my life, and his entrepreneur and entertainment network. So welcome, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Thank you. And Bobby is, how often are you on the Qumran Report, which is on right after the show?
Well, I have my own segment on the Qumran show called 15 Minutes of Fame Action Talk with Bobby Buck every third Monday of the month. Mm-hmm. And I come in, you know, any other Monday to take pictures or the network or help Melvin and Earlene out wherever they need it.
And what is your segment about for the 15 Minutes of Fame?
Well, mainly what I like to do is interview the entertainers, entrepreneurs, and the movers and shakers, along with the activists in the community. So the main thing I want to do is use entertainment to bait our people in to see the positive actions going on in Skid Row and South L.A.
Yeah, you're involved quite a bit with all of the entertainment fields. But can you tell us a little bit about what you do within the Skid Row district?
Mainly what I'm working on, like when I came to Skid Row myself, I didn't know I was coming to this place. And, you know, like anybody, like, oh, man, my life don't come to this. So, like I said, I came here like everybody else is to pursue the entertainment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came up here, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I liked to rap, and I was always drunk, and I was cracking jokes when I was rapping. So I figured I can make it happen. But well, I tell everybody what happened with me, I took a detour. And I tell people I started going through some other things, and then I went, wait a minute. I said, I got to do something else along with what I'm pursuing. So I tell people I came here a drunk with a dream until I tripped over reality and found my purpose.
Ah,
so my
that's
purpose,
profound.
Yeah, so my purpose is to grab people who are out there in the streets, getting out of jail, out of pen, or just somebody sitting at home bored in their house in a small country town way outside L.A. or way outside another state, and get them to utilize their skills, hobby, trade, whatever it is that they can do, their gift or their blessing that they have within inside. They can network with me, and I can help them get some exposure.
That's beautiful. I really like that. How long have you been having this going?
Well, actually, I came up here for myself to do my own thing, but then I ended up going through the rehab in 2007 around December. And when I was recuperating before they let me out, I started to have a vision of creating a barter and trade advertisement network. So since then, that's when I've been pursuing that, not knowing where I was headed.
But you had that vision.
Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I like that.
And it's a trip. It's like, I mean, that's why I knew, you know, I'm not a religious type person or whatever, but like, I understand, like, God had me through all them times, all the back times I was doing what I was doing, but it seemed like, as I came sober, like I was on a new walk, and being sober is like, ooh, my first 2 years was crazy. And it was depressing because I didn't know how to react being sober. But when he had me, gave me this vision, I'm like, I barely had an email. My email was not the type of email that you can go apply for a job with. Mm-hmm. My email was bucknuts@hotmail.com.
Bucknuts.
Yeah. That was the other me back in the day.
So, still the humor.
Yeah, oh yeah. I always kept that no matter what. My homie back in the day, William Mullins, he gave me that nickname.
Ah.
Yeah, so I was working with a lot of people. I was always drunk, but I was always networking people together and things like that. So then I made it here, so I'm still doing the same thing on a larger scale.
Yeah, and then you told me a little while ago that you've only been out here 6 years from Arkansas. And I was asking about, you know, that must have been a real culture shock going from Arkansas to L.A.
Oh, yes, because I went from Arkansas to Georgia to L.A. And it was like, well, really, when I came here, I was, you know, I had just quit drinking, but I had started back drinking mm-hmm. on the bus trip here. So when I got here, I looked up, seen all these buildings and all this stuff out here. I went, okay. This is where I need to be. But during that time, I didn't know where I was headed towards. Mm-hmm. So, and when I got here, I was like, then I was always passing out, going to sleep. Then when I wake up, I kept on hearing not trash cans, but shopping carts going down the streets every morning. And I kept going, what is that noise? He said, oh, man, this L.A. Everybody got to hustle. There's people going pushing cans to go get their money. I'm like, dog, every day? He said, everyday hustle out here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, so it's nonstop.
It is. Especially around this area. I mean, it's just amazing. Where the studio is located is probably one of the most eclectic neighborhoods I have ever been in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just everybody from every economic level possible. And people who have lost hope and lost dreams to people who are, you know, probably multi-billionaires. I mean, all in one neighborhood. It's really a trip.
Oh, yeah. That part really got me. Because I remember, when I first got here, I was living up on Washington and Western. I was staying over that way with a lady named Gloria Newman. She accepted me in, but she almost wasn't going to allow me to come in because she remembered how my daddy and his brothers used to be back in high school. So she thought I was that way. Mm. I was, but I stopped before I came out here. but I was living on that side of town. It was different. But then I had moved down at the Baltimore, like on Los Angeles and Fifth Street. Mm-hmm. And I was looking down past there. I said, I would never walk down there. I seen there, you know, all the craziness. And I'm like, man, I was like, I ain't going that route. So then I went to the Bay for a year and came back. Then I was living somewhere else. They raised my rent. So I said, well, I got my money invested in my website business. So I said, I got to do something. Then people told me about the Union Rescue Mission and stuff like that. So they told me where to go. Because I didn't really know the address of Skid Row. Yeah. But somebody told me to go down to San Pedro and this and that. So I went down there. I went, whoa, this where I'm coming to? And that's where everything started, right there.
So you had that, it sounds like kind of an awakening, huh?
Yeah. It just, like I tell people, L.A. is hardcore and spiritual at the same time.
You're right. That's a great way of putting it. I know when I came out here originally, I was, 18, 19. And I had friends living out here, and I was coming from Wisconsin, and it was the same culture shock.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, what did I just walk into?
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I was excited, too, because I was trying to make it in the business, too. I'm a musician.
Okay.
So I was trying to go out there and, you know, talk to the producers and get into bands and, you know, go that whole route. And I just, like, I didn't realize all the competition out here. And,
yeah.
You know, and having to go through the insecurities and growing up really fast and feeling like I was so out of my element out here. But it was just, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was, it was so growing.
Right.
I mean, you're scared crapless sometimes, but it's just, it's phenomenal at the same time. So, you know, talk a little bit about your life in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Well, back that way, it was like I tell people I was born kind of coming in, irking and jerking. I tell people I was born with seizures.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in and out the hospital a lot. I think to about the age of 7. And then, you know, along took me to church and kept me in church and, you know, prayed. And as a kid, I had some real strong faith. And I got over those illnesses. I used to be allergic to all things. I used to be allergic to chocolate. So I got over the illness with the seizures and the chocolate and everything. So still as a child, being in that small town in Arkansas, I'm understanding myself now what I was going through back then. But I was just a highly creative person in the mind. But I was trapped somewhere where they wouldn't let you release that. And I'll just, you know, tell people, I was just around bootleggers. And I tell everybody, I was raised up in a perverted way around bootleggers and hoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I knew. So it's what I said, being here, I understand what a lot of things I went through because people only know what they've been exposed to.
Right.
So I was like a late bloomer. I was 19 before I started to drink. Because I knew alcoholism ran in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. But I was bored and, you know, on the shy side and all that stuff. So I'm like, this and that. So then I see people go to clubs and all that. I look at them. I didn't fit in. Then one of my homeboys said, hey, man, try this. Big old 40-ounce of old English 800. So I'm like, okay. I took a big swig, and it seemed like tink, some things went off in my brain, and I just took it and ran with it. I took it to a different level.
The comedian was born, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, boy. He said, I just started looking at everything. I was like, okay. Started getting loose and everything.
So yeah.
That opened up some stuff.
Luckily, it's still open without the alcohol now, right?
Well, for the first two, almost 3 years, I was going debating because I was drunk for 18 years. Yeah. And so I was debating. I didn't like the way I was feeling for the first 2 years. So I tell anybody out there, if you're going through it, it is hard. But I just kept remembering that last drunk. I called and put myself in the rehab and everything, but I kept thinking about that. Like, I think if I take one more sip, I don't care if it's a wine cooler or a taste, yeah, I would flip all the way back. Because I was drinking a half gallon of gin, maybe two half gallons of gin every week. And at least one easily. You know, maybe one might last me 3 days if I'm just real bored and stuff. So I just started, going through a lot of different things. Back then, when I was 19, that's when I started drinking. I drank Cisco, too. I used to mix gin, Cisco, and Old English in one cup. And women remember, I used to black out all the time.
Yeah.
I'd be walking comatose. And people said I would talk intellectual. And people tell me on Facebook now, you're doing everything you said you was going to do. I was like, I am? I don't remember saying it.
Well, something was taking over for you, right?
Oh, yeah. I had a co-pilot.
The spirit, right, exactly. I know. I can relate, growing up in Wisconsin. I mean, the neighborhood that I grew up in was, there were some parts of the town that had a bar on every corner.
Mm.
So, and at that point, Wisconsin was like the number two state for alcoholism.
Ooh.
So that was our culture. Mm. That was our culture. I mean, when I was a kid, I was taken into bars, you know. My dad was a drinker.
Mm.
I ended up being a drinker for a while, too.
Oh.
And it just,
yeah.
It's a hard path to get out of. And I ended up having to get out of there. Otherwise, I would have just, I was predicting that I would have been dead by the age of 20. Because it was just going progressively worse. And I thought, I got to get out of here. I got to save my own life and get out.
Yeah.
So did you feel like that, too?
Oh, yeah. I got... To the point, like, and that's why I understand a lot of artists. I don't care what type of artist that you are in the entertainment. You got something else tapped in on a different source in your mind.
Yeah, definitely. Wired differently.
Yeah. And when you can't release that or get that out, it does something to you. And like, I got to the point where I'll just work. I had, dope charge, DWIs, and having hot checks and all this. So I was like, it made me look like I was a hardened criminal, because I was like handcuffed without the handcuffs on me.
Right.
And it's like, can't go nowhere, driver's license, can't go. So I can go to a bootlegger and get something to drink. If I can't get a ride to the grocery store in my town, I can get a ride to the liquor store 20 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I went to rehab several times. I remember one time I went to the rehab. I went in there drunk. It was like a mental rehab where they can help you with physical. It's back in Arkansas. I went in there drunk. I drank some Everclear, 190 proof.
Mm.
And the guy who, my intake, I woke up that morning, I'm like, where am I? Then I walked around. I said, I ain't got my key. He said, Mr. Buckner, we put your key in your thing. He said, the way you came in here, we don't even take people like that. I used to be an alcoholic, but I decided to let you come on in. So I came on in, and then I started going through some other stuff, and then my case manager was an ex-parole officer. I'm like, good gracious. So, but anyway, they got me on psych meds,
mm-hmm,
which I didn't understand psych meds then until I came out here and I got a lot of information on it. But they had to try to get me off the alcohol and the liquor, but then the psych meds, trazodone, they had me on some high milligrams. I take those, and I feel like I was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, man, I can get drunk without the smell. So I was popping those. Then that started, my tolerance got built for that. So I started popping pills with drinking the beer, then popping pills and drinking the liquor and the beer. Then I got to the point where I got suicidal. And a lot of people don't know that. But maybe some people do, but I was in my own zone. But I went inside psych units maybe 3, 4, 5 times. Because what I would do, I got so bored and depressed, I would get the pills, take a bunch of the pills, And I drank the liquor, and I, you know, was hoping I wouldn't go wake up. Because, you know, every time I wake up, I hear the birds chirping, the sun coming up. I was like, ugh, why? So I was get real crazy on that. And then, I remember one time I was going to get a buzz, just to get enough buzz to get enough courage to go walk in front of a train so the train could take me out. But it can turn into a joke. I got too drunk to walk. So that's why I'm still here.
Yeah, wow. You know, now, when you're telling us your life story and thinking back on it and stuff, from your perspective now and looking back, it's, you know, I mean, what did you learn from that whole time period? Because 18 years is a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, you look back and you start having some epiphanies on life and why you went through that. And so what do you feel like you've gotten from that passage in your life?
Well, it started allowing me to make a lot of quotes now and stuff. Like, I got something for that. Like, everything that happens bad ain't negative. And everything that happens bad is not negative. Everything that happens negative is not bad. It's an opportunity to give you a chance to exercise your mind and test your faith. Because when I look at it, if some of those things wouldn't happen, it ain't absolutely negative or bad. It's just something different to make you go a different route. Because people, we would never change or evolve because we want to stay in the same place. Especially like relationships. People, you fight to stay, but it's not meant. One person might evolve. It don't mean it's somebody else's fault. People want to blame people. It just wasn't meant to be. It was there for that certain time or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah, or people change.
People change.
Exactly. And it's not like you have the same relationship with the person when you first met.
Right.
Things change, people change, period. And you're right. I mean, sometimes things are not meant to be. You have to question that. And, you know, and so do you keep in touch with a lot of people back from Arkansas? Or?
Well, Facebook helps my anxiety since I can see people when they're on there and stuff. And I can see, you know, people talk about keep your ear to the streets, but keep your eyes to Facebook. And then, oh, okay, they all right. Okay, that's what happened. Oh, they got married. Oh, they got divorced. Okay.
Yeah.
So I can always go there and see. But I do understand, like, with my past, I got another one for that. See, I understand my past to comprehend my present, to prepare for my future.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand everything now. I mean, I'm understanding more every day because I'm so open-minded. You know, I allow anybody, like, I don't care what race, religion, or background you have, I will still listen. It don't mean I agree, you know, like with different religions. I go tap in a lot of different ones and take out what bits and pieces fit me. And I let that go that way. But when people try to push their beliefs on somebody else, they're running people away. Like what I'm doing with my positive movement called Action is I just want to do physical actions to help people. I don't care about all the other stuff. You know, that just stretches things out. I want to get straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Just help people and, you know, and just work with each other from that aspect. I don't care if you're a devil worshiper. That ain't got nothing to do with my belief. But if I see you down and out, I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or you come talk to me. I'm, you know, I know people who are atheists. They're good people. Just being here and coming to Skid Row in general, that has opened me up. You know, I talk to any and everybody. Like, even on Skid Row in the middle of it, I be networking, passing out flyers and business cards. And, like, I talk to anybody else in Beverly Hills, and I get feedback.
That's beautiful that you're that open-minded with people. To invite them in and say, you know what, I really want to get to know you. Where are you coming from? You know, and how can I help you? That's definitely one of the best ways to live life. It really is. I commend you on that.
Well, I tell people, it ain't me. I do as I feel led, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I feel like I'm just a spirit walking, still floating around. Like, I already been through the stuff. Now I just want to do my part to, you know, to help. But really, a lot of this wouldn't be happening. One for my daughter, Kiara Horizon Buckner. One for her, I wouldn't be here. Bottom line. Yeah. And I remember my father told me back in the day, back in the 90s, I was still, you know, what happened in the 80s here, it was going on in the 90s there, you know, a little back slower and stuff. But I was wild and crazy. But my dad told me, I remember that he said, boy, you might not think you are, but you're slowing down because you're a daughter. I looked at him. Oh, man, I'm still doing my thing. I got a 40 ounce in my hand. But I see, you know, I kept thinking, my conscience was always thinking about her because I didn't ask to be here, and I know she didn't ask to be here. Mm-hmm. So as long as I'm still here, I want to do my part as far as supporting her in many different ways. Even if I can't do it financially, she can call me. She talk about anything, you know. Because from the age of 5, I kept it 100 and real with her. Mm-hmm. Cause the way I was living, I didn't know if I was going to live the next day or not. You know, I wasn't a gang banger, but I hung around in the streets and stuff. So I was in different situations. Been shot at, I done shot at, done sold dope. Tried to give me 20 to 40 years. DWI, was left for dead. And I had a head injury, is where these scars come from. Had another near death where I fell 20 feet, crushed my knee, broke my leg, with a bone popped out my leg. Then I messed up my foot, my ankle, and I fractured my wrist all in one fall. That happened in 99. And that changed the whole dynamics of my life right there.
That slowed you down then, right?
And it needed to. Because yeah. I was married and was headed toward doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I told everybody, this is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I know. It is amazing to have situations and accidents and such happening. And then they do slow you down. And they make, you know, it makes you stop and think. It's like you there's no other way to go except to face yourself completely and honestly.
Yeah.
And say, where am I going? What am I doing with my life? And especially, you know, when you have a daughter. You know, I mean, my son was a real grounder for me too, mm-hmm. because I was just, you know, I was trying to keep on the path and just, you know, just straightening up, because I, you know, Wisconsin was crazy.
Okay.
It was, you know, and you know, and what's really amazing, and people are always like out here, they're like, I want to go someplace else and live where it's slower and it's, you know, blah blah blah. Well, I found out from one of my good friends recently that the county that I was born in Wisconsin has a heavy heroin problem in Wisconsin.
Mm.
And I'm just like, wow, well, maybe, you know, by the grace of God or the universe or whatever, that I ended up getting out before I ended up becoming one of those casualties, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you have to stop and go, wow, okay, there was a purpose to this.
Oh, yeah, I be looking at all that. I mean, like, what I went through could have been worse. And knowing I came out of it. But I do remember back in the day, I got to the point where I didn't have no money or nothing. I was dirt broke. And I seen a can of beer sitting on the street. And I looked around, got it, put it in the glass, made sure it was all right. And I drank that, then I was, didn't have nothing else. And I actually asked somebody smoking crackhead, how you want to call it. I said, hey, man, let me get a hit. He turned around and said, nah, little buck, this ain't for you. So a crackhead turned me down, which saved me from, because I got a very bad addictive behavior. You know, that's why I can't sit back and laugh at people shooting up, doing LSD and all this stuff, because I'm telling you what I would have been doing to get that next hit myself.
Right. It's searching for the high.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm human and stuff, but, you know, I try my best be on my P's and Q's as far as respect.
Right.
Everybody.
Well, yeah. And then you turn around and you say, hey, look at what I've been through. And I can't sit there and turn around and judge somebody else for doing the same addictive behaviors that I used to do, because you can understand that.
Yeah.
And then now you're turning around and reaching out and helping people,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the best things to do. That to me is spirituality.
Yeah.
That is, you've learned whatever lessons that you needed to learn.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and I see a lot of things are falling in place, like with my vision. Like, I be thinking I'm crazy for real sometimes, because, like, I can see, like, things falling. Like, boom, boom. Like, people I've been wanting to meet. I've been here 6 years. And for the past 3 years, I've been back. You know, I went to the Bay for a year, and I came back here. And, I went through a lot here. Like, my first 2 years here was hell. Then I went to the Bay, took a break. Then I came back. And so when the Bay kind of got my people skills back. Because mm-hmm. being here just in L.A. raw. You know, I first moved here, people say, don't, you know, from Arkansas, don't let L.A. change you. I said, I ain't going to do that. But you adapt.
Oh, yeah.
and stuff like that. So he invited me to come to the Bay, and I was hyper, talking loud, and he was laughing and stuff. He said, calm down. You okay? I'm like, what are you talking about? He was just laughing. He said, not laughing at you, because I was the same way when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, out here, people are slower. They listen to almost every word you say. You ain't got to say it in 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, like L.A. It's her own language for getting things out real quick.
Yeah. So I was up there, and then I was like, then I started adapting to it and being able to talk and, go to the library there. They got a library that's about 8 stories tall. And up there in San Jose is where I was at. And I went to San Francisco, checked that out too. And I was like, people in the library actually reading books. I was like, I'm used to seeing people trying to hustle or take naps or, all that type of stuff around here. But I was like, okay, different types. So I started networking and I started, vibing with people up there. So I made a lot of connections up in the Bay Area too.
Very nice. Very nice. So we're going to take a commercial break, Bobby, and we're going to come back and talk about your Action Network a little bit more, okay?
Okay.
All right.
The Chicago School of Professional Psychology offers numerous psychology, behavioral, and health-related science graduate degrees at 3 campuses, Los Angeles, California, including branches in Westwood and Irvine, Chicago, Illinois, and Washington, D.C., and online. The Chicago School prepares students to meet the ever-changing mental health needs of society through classroom experience and real-world training. The Chicago School Counseling Centers in Irvine and Westwood provide caring, confidential, and affordable psychological services to individuals and their families. For more information, visit thechicagoschool.edu.
And thank you to the Chicago School of Professional Psychology for sponsoring Psych One-on-One on Skid Row Studios. And I'm back with Bobby Buck, and we're going to talk about your Action Network a little bit. Can you tell us about that?
All right, yes. This time I've been, I've been here in 6 years, but mainly for the past, I've been having this website for about 6 years, but I ain't really been pushing it, utilizing it yet. But kind of like what I wanted to do, I came in for entertainment. Then being homeless stuff broadened my horizons. And that's what, my daughter's middle name is Horizons. And that's why I want to name my company Horizons, and everything. So, and I learned a lot of things about words. Things I say, I want to create structure and do Horizons. And I'm going through it myself. So I had to learn, a lot of different things. And one more thing, what changed my course is when I've got my other accident. Well, not an accident, but I had my hip replaced since I've been here in 2009. But I was in a nursing home recuperating. I think that's foreshadowing. I was in a nursing home. Two things happened, though, that changed the course of what I was doing. Because I was supposed to be strictly about money.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when they said that Michael Jackson died. I was in there watching TV and stuff. And I'm like, Michael Jackson died. And I went, wait a minute. I said, man, I ain't got nothing. I said, he left a legacy. And all that stuff and everything. I'm like, okay, I gotta start fixing my mind right to, do things better. And then another thing happened, Obama was on TV. And I'm not really tripping about politics too much and everything. I like to pay attention to it, though. But he said the word entrepreneur, and that got my attention. So I started listening, and he said this. And this, I don't know if he remembers saying it or not, but he said, for the entrepreneurs, if you're thinking about going into entrepreneurship, said, don't go into entrepreneurship with just the idea to make money. Go to it with the intent to change the world.
Yeah.
And I went, That's where I stayed in. Because they was going to let me out early at the nurse's home. But she said, well, just go ahead and stay a couple of days. I need to hear that. Because I said, okay, if I put my goals way up that high in the sky, I won't have to worry about money or wealth. It would come my way. And plus, the way I want to do it, I want to help. If I help other people make money, I make money.
Exactly.
So
win-win.
Yes, because L.A. makes money taking money out your pocket. I want to make money
really
putting money
fast
in your pocket. Yes. I mean, if I don't go nowhere, I'm cool. But when I step outside, man, it's stuff I don't even think I need, I'm going to buy it. And so what I did, so I was like, okay, so what I want to do with my social network is BobbyBuck.com. is use the entertainment to bring people together to see entrepreneurship and self-employment, along with the positive actions that are going on in South LA and Skid Row. That's why I want to name my movement Action, because I remember I still remember I was walking down San Pedro, get ready to make a right on San Pedro walking. I was just mad and disgusted with seeing how the people get paid to keep you suppressed. I said, they get paid to do false actions. I said, I want to start going around networking and promote all the real positive actions that's happened to help people. So that's why I came up with that. Then I started hearing about L.A. Can. I never really knew what L.A. Can was until I finally went there and met Wesley Walker in school at the L.A. Trade Tech. And also I met Bilal Ali a while back. Then I found out it was called L.A. Community Action Network. Mm. I went, oh, okay. And they the front line. Mm-hmm. they get out there in front. And if they went out front doing what they were doing, people like me wouldn't be able to sit back to strategize to do what I'm working on doing, which I'm working on different online businesses. I have two of them that are free, which people can join for free just to check it out. I want people to go outside the box, learn something different and unique, and it's about making money.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I was with this one organization passing out pamphlets for them. I got some good information for you. You know, people I was talking to, they said, I don't want information. I need to make money. I need a job. I need a way to make money. I said, the information can help you, but people, it's in a rush. So I said, wait a minute. If I gave them some information on how to make money, then that will bring them in to listen to some positive information.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you got to grab people where they are. See, most people try to manipulate with what they have to get them in. No, you got to grab, find out where they are. And then, like, different businesses, you got to see what they need. Don't just throw things at them.
Right.
So you got to, you know, communicate with people and things. So, like, say, my network is like, sign up like Facebook. You put your information up like LinkedIn.
Okay, so how do the listeners get to the network?
Oh, yes, just go. My name is BOBBYBUCK, BobbyBuck.com. And you can go there, just sign up. And then you get approved to come in, and then we'll shoot you some information for when you first come in. And then, you know, you got any questions, so you can call my number, or you can hit me on my bobbybuck.com, email me. And right now it's grassroots. And while I'm doing it, I need people to come in. Now, I'm real busy, so I'm looking, you know, like everybody looks for leaders. So, yeah, I'm working with the entertainment, but entertainment is last. My first thing is doing the positive movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for people, like I said, do barter and trade advertisement. It's mainly what I'm doing. So you want some real advertisement, you got to pay for it anyway. So people always want to, you know, people always want to try to get over here. But I said, well, you work with me, with what we're doing, you would get noticed by helping us with the movement. So I learned when I was in Georgia, somebody go put me on a mixtape. I got some old crazy music too. OG Buck Wild.
Oh, I should have had you bring that in.
Maybe
that would have been awesome. Yes.
Oh, I don't know. You might hold your ears. It's triple X rated too.
Oh, that's okay. We're on that network. We could get away with it.
Oh yeah, I got some stuff. So I want people to understand. I want to do the movement first,
mm-hmm.
and then bring people to check on entrepreneurship, self employment. And then the entertainment. Because I was in Georgia. Anyway, I was doing my mixtape, and he called me. He said, oh, you going to be on the mixtape? I said, oh, you heard my music? He said, I see you heard my old crazy music? He said, let me tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, I don't even know who you are. I haven't listened to your music, but it's all about networking. He said, you hear music on the radio that you don't like? You wonder how to get on there? I said, yeah. He said, it's who and how you network with people.
Right. Oh, that is definitely the case.
Yeah.
And now, what would you recommend to somebody? Like, you know, I'm just starting to get into this whole network phase because I've never been too good at it,
uh-huh.
honestly. So what would you recommend for people that are kind of maybe shy or unsure about networking?
Well, really, you do it all the time. Because another thing I want to do is everybody, like, say what I want to do like with the people that are on the streets and homeless, everybody needs a business card or a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
That opens up, it gives the stage to open up for communication. Because if it wasn't for me networking, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Because a lot of people, I would have passed on by. And most time we do, but like you could pass a business card out and then tell people what you do. And then obviously they want to tell you what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Then that opens up broaden your horizons.
So maybe it's just, you know, maybe having that business card or that piece of paper to hand out or whatever, but maybe building up the confidence to really believe in yourself, your product, your entertainment value, whatever it may be, whatever you're trying to sell. But, you know, also, you know, like we had talked about before, the win-win aspect of it, you know, going out with, okay, well, I want to do this, but not going out there and just having money as the goal. Having like, okay, I really want to do this because I'm passionate about this. I'm really good at this.
Right.
And therefore, I need to, you know, expose myself to, you know, other people and show them what I'm about, right?
Right. Like I say, like you just start going to networking events and watch. Like one of the millionaires, like I said, I've been around millionaires, thousandaires, and all that. So I listen to people in the streets, to, you know, anybody that speaks, I can listen. You never know what you get. But he said, if you want to try to learn how the other side lives, go to Malibu, go to a nice restaurant or a nice bar, and just order some water. Just go there once a week, once a month, just learn how to adapt to your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And just drink some water. You know, he said, hold your pinky out. People might think you're drinking something good. That way you don't look too cheap.
And put a lemon in there.
Yeah. And then just observe. That's the thing, people being stuck in a box. And they're afraid. You know, everybody want to have the swag and all that stuff and everything. And everybody's talking about how real and how hard they are. But really, they're afraid to go outside the box to be different. Because everybody back in the day, everybody's trying to be different. Now everybody want to be similar.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
scary.
It's more followers than it is leaders.
Yeah.
And then you got a lot of people who claim to be leaders when they're in a group, but they're following the same techniques that haven't worked.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, I just go to different churches here. You know, at the end of church, they always want to give you their spiel to join and all this stuff. See, it's robotic almost to me. So I can let them give me their spiel. So then I said, now can I give you my spiel? He said, okay, yeah, go ahead. They kind of, you know, got the emotions going.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, cool. This is what I want to say. I said, we got all these different churches on every block, right? But they say this. They say doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result is insanity, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I said,
yeah.
We got all these different organizations on all these different blocks doing the same thing over and over, but ain't nothing changed.
Yeah.
So that's insanity, right? Then they look at me. I said, well, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just, you know, putting it out there. And then I just found out some information recently that, and I didn't really know, but talked with a lady. I was doing some networking about a product I have, and the lady was telling me, you know, about with the black on black violence. Mm. I didn't know she worked at the hospital and talking about with the morgues and stuff. They have bodies stacked from 11 to 18 and stuff. Like that, you know, I said, you talking about from the 80s? She said, no, recent, now. I'm going like, so what I'm saying is really we got to work on solutions and things that can work. Not just, because you keep putting it out to the universe about talking about the problems and problems and problems and problems, but keep on going around the same cycle.
Right.
So that's why I said I want to work with entertainment to bring people in. You know, the entertainment, what I'm doing is real, because you go network, y'all go see, I got some people I'm connected to, probably get ready to go some places.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not really tripping on the entertainment no more. But that's what gears you to come work with me. Cool. But I need help with this positive movement to push it off and get it cracking, which is going to happen anyway. Like I told people, this is a win-win season. And I brainwashed myself last year to get prepared for this year.
You brainwashed yourself.
Yep. I didn't use psychology. I went deeper. I said, yeah.
Did a brain cleansing, right?
Oh, yeah, because something happened, like when I was back in Arkansas, you know, back when my dad had passed, about, you know, 2011. I was, me and him was talking, you know, he had cancer, you know, lung cancer. And he kept on saying the same thing over and over. Just do what you set out to do and don't worry about what nobody think about it. He said, back in the day when you was crazy, you didn't care what nobody thought. I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he sounded like he was a really positive influence in your life.
Oh, yeah, yes. Especially, you know, toward the end. Like, he was like, you know, I was rowdy, but it runs in the family. So mm-hmm. I guess he, you know, he was worried because they had a whole bunch of brothers who went out there and did. I was kind of solo, just out there. So he was always worried. But, you know, I was protected, you know, and I had to go through all the different things to be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
But then after, you know, when he was, you know, on the deathbed and, you know, I was there, then when he died, you know, instead of getting mad and bitter, it's like a spiritual moment. And I said, now, when I get back to L.A., can't nobody or nothing stop me from what I set myself out to do. I came back with that attitude. And, you know, at the same time, I practiced being humble and chilled out and, you know, tactful. And I got to try to catch myself. Because I be understanding, it ain't that the person is angry at me or just despises me or whatever. It's got their own eternal flames that they're dealing with. And I sit back, like I say, slow to anger. That's true. Because a lot of people I thought I wouldn't even get along with, we cool now. Because I bit my tongue.
Yeah, and you kind of sat back and you had something to learn from the situation, the person, whatever. And that's really important that you take some time to do some self-reflection and figure out what's going on with the situation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like, you know, between all my drunkenness, it hit me in a lot of different situations. Mm-hmm. So I see things. I see things way, you know, then from the street life of living. You know, I was just living, but then really being in the streets here, I just sleep on buses, you know, bus 20 back and forth. You know, whichever bus ran 24 hours, bus 2, you know, bus 4, and bus 207, you know, bus 40. Bus 40, that's a dangerous bus, though.
Do not go on bus 40. Warning. Yeah. Jody, my
board. Actually.
Oh, no. Well, we're going to put some little blessings on you for safety on your way home, my dear. My board op, Jenny's got to take the bus home. Maybe I should be taking everybody with me.
we'll
take a that's right. We'll take a caravan back here, okay?
Hey, this is L.A. Everybody hustle. Hey, try to put their money in.
I know. It's pretty crazy out here. So what finally got you off of the streets and doing what you're doing now? I mean, I love that you're doing this network. It's incredible. So you are a success story. What finally clicked into place? I mean, it sounded like you had some good internal voices going on.
Oh, a bunch of prayers coming from my mom, Virginia Buckner, and my sister, Felicia Buckner, and my nieces, Infinity, and Jasmine, in my whole town, probably. I mean, I hear that, I feel that. And even my daughter, she was supporting me, you know, I'm out there. You know, how'd she go tell you, my daddy homeless, you know, and stuff like that. And she would give me, I told her she was my psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. She'd be 18 in June.
Beautiful.
So she was my psychiatrist all this time. And then, like I said, what it was, I said, I got to do this. And I just can't quit. And then I had a connection with somebody who had a connection to help me get my apartment, which was OG, Manuel Capito. He kind of helped me out with that. And I'm like, you know, because even he said, with the connection, it's a spiritual thing. It's just divine. And he said, I know once you get your spot, because what you're doing right now while you're homeless, once you get your spot, I know you could be doing a whole lot better works. And that makes me more determined.
Yeah.
And each obstacle I go, I mean, like today was wild, just trying to get here on time. But, hey, I like that.
I appreciate it. We appreciate you being here, definitely. Your story is very inspiring. Really is.
I think I tell people, God has just used me for a tool to inspire people. Just an instrument to inspire. I mean, because I'm still crazy. Like I tell people, I'm not 100% religious. I'm crazy, too. And I'm positive, but you know, work in progress.
Yeah, work in progress. That's a beautiful way. And talking about work in progress, we were talking before about your documentary work that you were planning on doing. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. It's a good spot to do this right here, because what I really want to do is work with featuring the women and the youth in a documentary. And I want to pull everybody together with all our resources and do it ourselves instead of paying for it. Work with barter and trade. And I'm not going to tell all the details because I know how people, oh, yeah, take the idea and run. Mm-hmm. But I just want to pull this together. And once we all get together, we can start collaborating. And like I say, we can all just work. And, you know, everybody, some people do a little video work. Some people do a little, you know, marketing or, you know, graphic design. You know, whatever we all do, we just bring it together and make it happen. But mainly just want to work with empowering with the women and the youth. And, you know, there's always exceptions when we bring some men in and stuff, you know, to work with. But I want to hear the voices of the women and the youth. And then for us men to come together with the women and the youth and make the action happen.
Mm-hmm. So kind of an empowerment documentary, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't get more real than documentary work, right?
Yeah, it's
beautiful. Yeah, I'm planning on doing documentary work also within the next year or so. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's exciting. I know. I love it. It's, you know, always fascinating stories out there to be told.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we need more inspirational stories in our lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of being lost in the cracks. And it's beautiful that you're going forward and putting out these stories that could help other people.
Yeah, because they make more money off negativity. You know, they breed crime so they can have, you know, job security.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, seriously, look at how many crime stories are on TV right now. It's like, talk about negativity and downers. Woo.
Yeah. Because they want to keep your mind consumed with it. And, I even heard about a little information about the hip-hop. You know, they didn't like hip-hop when it first came out. But then they figured out a way they can utilize that to keep the minds poisoned. Because they had people who wanted to invest in private prisons. And so they figure they promote the gangster music hard and heavy, they can utilize people to keep themselves down. Because a lot of this stuff is subliminal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it had me back. I mean, Arkansas listened to all this stuff. But they utilize that because they need warm bodies to be inside the prisons. So you keep putting that music out, you're going to have pimps, hoes, drug pushers, drug users, and keep that mentality. And they glorify it, make it look good. When you go to jail, they make it, oh, yeah, you know, people can't, all right, when you get out, you know. So they make sure your mind's consumed with that. And it's hard to raise the kids. That's why with the kids now, they're raised off the music and the video games.
Mm-hmm.
Not no physical people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've had a couple of shows about that before, about the violence on video games and how it's influencing the youth. And it is, it's keeping their minds trapped. It's like what's happening with imagination. You know, not that I'm downing on all video games, because I mean, it's sometimes it's a nice form of escapism.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to look at how much time you spend in front of a screen and getting locked into that versus trying to communicate with the person that's in front of you, that's next to you, and saying, hey, how are you really doing here? Instead of, let me text you across
the table.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I can't really sit there and tell you this, so I'll just short text it, and hopefully we can have a conversation through our fingertips. It's like, no, that doesn't work.
Yeah, because I told somebody, like, you know, in L.A., you don't have snow and all that stuff. So, like, on Christmas, you know, you look outside your windows, you don't see no kids riding bicycles, playing basketball, kickball, jumping jacks, or nothing. They're getting the best new technology.
Yeah.
They're not even outside, you know, creating a distance.
Yeah, I know. It's sad to see.
Disconnect.
Hopefully. I know. So it's wonderful that you have the network together to start bringing, you know, other entrepreneurs together.
Right.
And creating something that'll be wonderful, that it's going to be, you know, enlightening and teaching people and, you know, putting more positive feelings and, you know, creation into play here.
Yeah, because, you know, I just want to bring people, like I tell people, I might not be the key to helping you get to where you want to go, mm-hmm. but it might be somebody within the network that might be the key to helping you get where you want to go.
There you go. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the people who are in the network right now?
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got two of my people going to be my guests on my segment on the Qumran Report on the 17th. One lady I met her, she's a comedian, an actor, a writer, singer, and everything. So I met her. It was a trip. I met her right before Valentine's Day, walking down on Hollywood Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a sign. One side it said, "Be my Valentine." The other side it say, "I put out for free." I said, "Whoa." So I walked by. I said, "Oh, man, she one of them." Then I looked again. I said, "Are you a comedian?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "We got to talk."
Especially with a sign like that.
Oh, yeah. And then another person that's going to be here, his name is Mark Tiano. And he's an incredible writer.
Hmm.
I don't know how many people might have heard of L. Ron Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard has many writings. And this person, he's coming close to that, I think, if he keeps going. But he has one of his writings. It's a 13-book novel.
Wow.
And he said when he writes 1.3 million words, less than that is boring.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
1.3 million words.
Yep, he said going less than that is boring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And and he also, he has a database of all herbs that help people. So I'm working with him,
beautiful,
you know, like get away from all the different type of drugs, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff. So, yeah, it's broadened my horizon. So everybody come together. You know, it's L.A. No, nobody just do one thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you can't.
Yeah.
So that's going to be next Monday then, correct?
Is that the 17th? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the 17th.
Oh, boy.
Woo. Yeah. So everybody tune in to the Qumran Report. Well, of course, after my show tonight and on the 17th, and then you can hear Bobby's segment. That sounds really fascinating.
Oh, yeah. I've been having a good time. This year is falling together real good.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're doing a great job on the networking and meeting interesting people. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. I like when people are meeting people and stuff, so.
Yeah. And you never know what you're going to grow, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yep. Another thing, like I tell people about L.A., you know, it's hardcore. I tell people, this is one of my analogies. It's like a bad relationship with great sex. I can't stand you, but I don't want to leave. I can't stand you, but I don't want to leave.
There's something pulling you back.
Yeah.
That's an interesting analogy, Bobby.
Everybody's like, I don't know why I'm still with you.
So are you doing any comedy yourself anywhere?
Not yet, but I met Damon Wayans and got a picture with him at the Ha Ha one night and everything. And also I met Danny Glover doing some action with L.A. Can one time. Got a picture with Danny Glover and stuff. And I'm setting up my main thing. I want to get my network going. I want to take a life of his own, get people in, because it's not all the way set up. I need people to come in and help me set it up. And people who help me set it up will get extra publicity from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if somebody hating on me, oh, look at him. He need to do this. If you tell me I need to do that and it works, I'm going to give you more advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So, hate.
So, it's a win-win.
Yes, you know, win-win. But like I say, but I'm thinking about, you know, once I kind of get situated, I want to start doing some, I might start doing some open mics and improv so I can start getting loose. Because it's kind of rusty up here.
Now, you're involved in the open mic at Vortex, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, promote that.
Oh, yeah, the Sona Zone open mic every fourth Tuesday of the month. Every fourth Tuesday of the month, come on down to the Vortex, and we can probably get the address to you a little later. Or just go to BobbyBuck.com or email buck@BobbyBuck.com. I give you all the information. Also call 213-293-7983. Yes, yeah, so I got a lot going on, a lot of different events. I work with Rock Rhyme Over Crime. He does something in Beverly Hills. It's going to be on the 22nd. I do a little picture and video there and stuff and everything. So, yeah, I need some help. So you help me for free. You get some free publicity and network for free. And that way, that's how you get paid.
Yeah, so win-win, right?
Win-win.
Contact Bobby, everybody.
Yeah, come on. Let's get it cracking.
Exactly. All right. So thank you so much, Bobby Buck, for being my guest this evening. It was fascinating. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for inviting me.
It was, yeah. And if anybody would like to contact me, my business number is 562-234-4650. You can also email me at jgoode8@verizon.net. Friend me on Facebook and Psych One-on-One, P-S-Y-C-H, One-on-One. I'm also on iTunes Store under podcast under the same name, Psych One-on-One. And thank you so much for listening in. I really appreciate you. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye now.